relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
You're listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
Have I told you about my slippers? I never thought I'd be a slipper man. But if Rocky can wear slippers, I can wear slippers! Especially if they're made by a patriot by the name of Mike Lindell. They've arrived, my sheepskin slippers, the latest product from his burgeoning empire at MyPillow, with the MyPillow foam inside. Oh, Mike, you've done it again. Please check them out and the other 100-plus American products at his store. 25 companies are boycotting him, trying to destroy him and his MyPillow company. Go straight to the source. Send a message to the cancel culture leftists. Go to MyPillow.com and Mike's going to give you, because you're my friend, more than 60% off if you use my name. You can call them 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com, but you've got to use the secret code G-O-R-K-A. Okay, before we get to your calls, I have to share this. Eight people murdered in what were they, Shad? Were they like nail salons? What were they?
Massage parlors.
Massage parlors by one man, already being touted as a race crime, because six of the eight killed were Asian. Does that mean the two who were Caucasian didn't die, weren't relevant, or just undermine the narrative of the fake news industrial complex? Well, let's ask somebody who is such an amazing journalist, nay, a theologian of high repute, the Reverend Don Lemon, who's gone from telling us about how Jesus Christ is black and you should have black statues to him at home to explain to your children how a Semitic Jesus was black. Yeah, I actually have a degree in theology, but this is his latest contribution. Don Lemon of CNN, Cut 13.
It's incredibly sexist, my therapist says, because it's objectifying women, a double marginalized group of women, even that they weren't doubly marginalized. He perceived them as sex workers, even though they weren't, right? Because he thought they were there to fulfill an obligation for him, something that they were doing for him. He perceived them as sex workers, therefore a double marginalized group of women. He perceived them as sex workers and Asian, even though they weren't sex workers. They were working in a spa, but that was his perception of him. That is the racist and sexist part. Just because someone is not saying, oh, well, you know, I don't like Asians, or I'm doing this because of calling, you know, a racial epithet, or saying the N-word, or anything like that. That's overt, obvious racism.
Right. Don Lemon had to discuss this with his psychiatrist, who knows why the murderer murdered those people. There's actually a regulation for psychiatrists, a self-regulation from their society, that you are not allowed to diagnose people who aren't your patient. Ethically, it's wrong. And I guess it's even more wronger, as Don would say, to hypothesize about somebody else who's not your patient, and then have the patient who you hypothesized with talk about it on national television. Although, does CNN really count anymore as national television? when this modest radio program, just forget our YouTube, our Rumble, our Instagram video, forget that. Just over terrestrial radio without the podcast or anything else. We have 3 million listeners, which is factors more than the viewership of CNN in prime time. I just wanted to share that with you so you don't have to watch it for yourself. But let's go to your calls before we get our guests in studio. Michael Duran, we're going to talk to Brian Dean Wright. Maybe, just maybe, we're going to get one of the newer class of congressmen and women with us. Yes, Marjorie Taylor Greene is booked, as well as Monica Crowley. You love her. One of my colleagues from the John Bachelor Show. And by the way, if you guys were worried, John is back. He's back! He's gone to CBS Radio. I'll be on his show tonight, 10 p.m. WRKO. Check out John Bachelor. I love what he's doing. He's calling it the new John Bachelor Show. I like that. That's stylish. But that's who he is. He's John Bachelor. Let's go to Kevin, California, line one. Welcome, Kevin.
Morning, Dr. Gorka. Or afternoon.
Yeah, greetings. Are you in the midst of some kind of submarine activity or down a drain pipe? Because you sound very far away.
Sorry about that. I'm a commercial truck driver. This is the only way they let us talk is through the...
Well, it's probably better than talking to you on a CB radio. And because we love our truckers, you get a special exemption. What brings you to our show today, Kevin? Hey, what are you hauling? Just tell us, what's in the back?
Sand and gravel. I'm going to work on the freeways. I'll haul sand and gravel.
Sand and gravel. That is a serious load, my friend. Be careful out there. Stay frosty.
Thank you, sir. Dr. Gorka, I just want to comment on the story with your dad. Your story did two things. One, it made me mad, and two, it really touched something. And I'll tell you why. My father, World War II, his father died in 1930, Christmas Eve. They buried him. Single mother with 13, that's 13 children.
Wow.
In Middle Tennessee. The house they lived in was her and 13 children after my grandfather had killed. To keep snow out, they had to stuff newspaper in the cracks.
Wow.
And my dad, you know, worked hard. He was in the Burma China Theater. He was a tech sergeant. He boarded the planes, kept them fit for combat, loaded bombs, all that type of stuff. When I hear people today complain about being poor, it's something that really makes me extremely mad. My mom and dad were both dirt poor in Middle Tennessee. They worked hard, they saved their money, and they busted their humps to get where they were. My brother and myself were very fortunate to be raised by those two people who taught us a strong work ethic, and that everything we have, from the breath we take to the food is on our table, is from an Almighty God. That's what we were taught. I sit here today in this truck working for a company, and I have two sons. They're working. We all have cars. We have a roof over our head, and we're blessed. But when people say, "Oh, I'm poor. I don't have this. I don't have that," and you have all this government hands out, my attitude to them is, shut up, you. If you don't get out, bust your thumb. You got no reason to complain. You got a mental problem or a physical disability, that's great. Let's help those people. But if you're just too bloody lazy, get off your job and get up every morning and go to work or look for work, I have very, very little sympathy for most people. Your story just really just sparked that. I understand where you're coming from. You know, I understand where people are coming from. So, you know,
thank you, Kevin. Kevin, how many miles do you drive in a month?
Oh, good Lord. I do all local work, but it's about 100 to 200 a day. That's 5 days a week. So it's not that, but I'm all over Southern California, you know, delivering sand and gravel.
And how are truckers doing? How is the trucking sector doing?
The company that I work for, we are extremely busy with the schools being shut down and the kids not being on the classrooms. All the updates for facilities, things like that. We're extremely busy right now. An average week for me is 62, 63 hours.
Wow. Well, listen, I know you're driving. I want you to be super careful. You are why I am here, Kevin. It is listeners like you. Forget the listeners. It's Americans like you, my fellow Americans, are why I am here 3 hours a day doing a much, much, much easier job so that we can give back to those like you and your parents and your grandfather. God bless America. Stay on the line, Kevin. We're going to send you a signed copy of The War for America's Soul. I love this job. I love doing this show. And I love this country. Saluting you, Dave. Saluting everyone out there who's on a big rig, making the arteries of America flow with everything we need to stay alive, to prosper, and be the greatest nation on God's green earth. Stay on this channel.
Whole truth, nothing but the truth. That's Dr. G's specialty, America First.
I love my guest's bio. It says he sits in a tank and thinks. Get it? We'll get to him in a second. First things first, guys, thank you so much. You're hitting it out of the ballpark. You have donated so much already to our Food for the Poor campaign. But if you want to give back a little, if you've survived the coronavirus, please think of all those that are suffering south of the border who shouldn't be coming here, shouldn't be in the hands of the coyotes and smugglers. We can help them. Food for the Poor is feeding 1 million mouths a day in our hemisphere. They work in more than a dozen countries doing the Lord's work. Remember what Jesus said to us. Come unto me, the little ones. No child anywhere should suffer. And if you donate through my website, think of this. They have the food already. It's been donated. They just have to get it to the girls and boys. And if you donate $37 once, you're going to feed a child for 6 months. If you can afford $111 once, that's 3 children for 6 months. Make a difference today. Be a modern missionary. Be a guardian angel. And go to sebgorka.com and click on the Food for the Poor banner right at the top. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com and the Food for the Poor banner. Or call them directly on 855-330-HOPE. That's 855-330-4673. Food for the Poor. Thank you to all of you who've already donated. If you haven't, please, 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 please make a difference today. Go to our website. Okay, it's been far too long since he's been in the studio. I think the last time was with our buddy Jim Carafano, and it was like a comedy double act. It was fabulous, especially when I mentioned a certain other think tanker. But this guy's the real deal. His name is Mike Doran, and the Twitter account is Doranimated. He might explain that. I don't know. D-O-R-A-N-I-M-A-T-E-T-E-D, Doranimated. Mike, welcome back to America First.
Great to be here.
I want to talk about some bigger picture strategic stuff maybe in the next segment. But first, the thing that I want to know about most is what's happened in the last 57 days with regards to U.S. policy and Iran. You're a real expert. What has happened, or what are you seeing in the tea leaves with regards to the thing that we killed when I was in the White House, and that's the disastrous Obama JCPOA Iran deal?
They're bringing it back. They're bringing it back. This is Obama administration 2.0. There's no doubt about it. There's a in my world, the inside the Beltway think tank people, there's a myth that's taken root that there's a division in the Biden administration between the kind of centrists and the Obama hardliners, moderates and hardliners. and the centrists are Jake Sullivan, National Security Advisor, and Tony Blinken, and they're aware of the defects of the JCPOA and of the Iran realignment, and they're moving slowly. In my opinion, total nonsense.
So there are no competing camps.
There are disagreements over tactics, but
yeah, but not ideological.
No competing camps.
So all of these people think it's a good idea to fund the most murderous regime in the Middle East.
They're dying to get back to the JCPOA to fund it, and then they want to cut a deal with Iran on the region.
Okay, so I can't do this. I just cannot do this as the child of people who escaped a communist dictatorship as a former political appointee in the Trump administration. I can't even get myself to the place where I can hypothesize a justification for doing this with a state that is today, according to the State Department, the largest state sponsor of terrorism. Can you red team it for us?
Yeah,
can you tell us why? What is the logic for them? Is it just legacy again like Obama?
There, we'll get to that in a second. There is the domestic American component, which I think is huge.
So they have something to wave, show off.
Well, I think it's bigger than that. But let me start with the strategic analysis. They start from the assumption that Iran, however unpleasant a country, a regime, is a pragmatic actor with limited ambitions. It's an actor that we can cut a deal with.
Based on what? What sane person who studied the Islamic regime for 3 seconds thinks this is just another?
This is a view that is deep in the national security community. It's not just left wing.
With what evidence? This isn't Benelux. Luxembourg.
It's been in there since. Since the revolution, you remember when Ronald Reagan sent Ollie North and who else was it? Former
Poindexter.
You're in the right track. I'm trying to think.
General.
No, he was Reagan's former national security advisor, Bud McFarland.
Oh, Dick. Oh, Bud
McFarland.
Yeah, Colonel.
They sent them to Tehran and that's what started the whole arms for hostages thing.
Right.
Yeah. Why did they send them? It wasn't supposed to be arms for hostages. You remember about 87, Reagan goes on television and national, prime time,
yes,
address to the nation and says, "Listen, I'm sorry, my fellow Americans. I told you a few months ago I didn't trade arms for hostages. When I said it, I was sincere, but my heart and my best intentions." I think that was a phrase.
Yes.
They told me we didn't do this, but I've now investigated and we did it. So why did they do it? They were looking for the moderates in Tehran. That's why they went there. And the Iranians said, "We'll meet with you, but we want arms." And then when the Americans got there, they didn't want to be suckers, so they wanted something in return. So they said, "Well, why don't you release some of the hostages in Lebanon?" And then it devolved from there to arms for hostages. But the goal was to find the moderates. So This is something that is that, and remember.
You mean the moderates who are in prison or are living in London? You mean those moderates?
You know who met them on the tarmac when they got off the plane?
Who?
Rouhani.
Uh-huh.
I'm serious. Rouhani has been playing the moderate to Americans, but the thing here is it, right now this is a left wing delusion. And it's primarily a left-wing delusion, but it exists on the right, too, unfortunately.
So they believe that a regime that is funding proxy militias across the region whose leader said at the – where was it? Was it the UN or was it at Berkeley who said, "We don't have homosexuals in Iran," that this is the moderate –
NYU, I think.
NYU.
No, it was Columbia.
Columbia. This is the moderate regime we can do business with, Mike.
The thing is that when I was in the White House, I worked in the Bush White House. And if you don't start with your worldview, and you just come in there, and then you get messages from the Syrians and from the Iranians They're great whisperers.
Yeah.
And they whisper in your ear all the time that, why are you so close to the Jews? Why are you so close to the Saudis? Why do you close, you know, why are you so close to those lizard eating Arabs? If don't you understand that if you work with us, we have so many problems we can solve, because we're like you. We're pragmatic people.
We're a great nation. We can do business.
And they know how to work the system. So they work through the intelligence communities and so on to get little lobbies.
So I could do this for hours. We've just dipped a little toe into these questions. So much more to come with my good friend Mike Duran, senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, former DOD and White House official. This is America First. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by America's Forgotten and Salem Now.
Some of it's relatively straightforward work, where we're making good progress designing body armor that fits women properly, tailoring combat uniforms for women, creating maternity flight suits, updating requirements for their hairstyles.
Boob-shaped body armor and new perm hairdos for the females in our military. Don't forget the maternity flight suits! That was the commander-in-chief a week ago. And I played it for our in-studio guest, senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, former White House appointee and DOD appointee. You got to follow him right now. Duran, Durani Mated is his Twitter. He's Mike Duran. Mike, I got to ask you, what do the mullahs think when they hear the President of the United States talk about boob-shaped body armor? Are they impressed? Are they impressed?
No. You know, I saw this 60 Minutes recently about how we almost got into war with Iran after the killing of Soleimani. And they did something that it just killed me. I believe it was either 60 Minutes doing their shtick or the Biden administration wanting to say, oh, Trump almost got us into war, because this, you know, what they're pushing, this Iran stuff, is that we're going to get to peace. And they showed, I mean, this is at Al-Assad base in Iraq, Ayn al-Assad in Iraq, they had a guy who showed an American soldier, and they got intel that said that they were going to be hit by ballistic missiles from the Iranians, which they were, and he had every reason to believe he might die, and then he made a video. It's heart-wrenching to see it. He made a video for his son and sent it to his son, and he's tearing up, saying,
thinking, I'm about to die.
I'm about to die, yeah. I totally understand the guy. I think in the same situation, I would have been in the same emotional state. But we should never be broadcasting that. You know, the one thing that the Iranians are very, very good at, you know, everybody in Iran hates the Iranian government. They're sitting on a volcano. They are very good at all the time saying, we're strong. We're sanctions? You just destroyed our economy? No, you didn't. We're used to that. That's not doesn't bother us at all. You know, they're just everything is the nonchalant. One thing they did recently showed their weakness when Erdogan went to Baku. I don't know if you saw that. He He recited a poem, and they went crazy. And that showed how they really showed how scared they were.
That was the neuralgic point.
They showed how scared they were. They never show how scared they are. But when we do that, when we show
weakness,
and we think we're showing our emotion, you know,
our sensitivity.
It doesn't play well in Persia.
Last couple of minutes we've got with Mike Doran. Follow him, Doran, and made it on Twitter. How will the history books, or how should the history books, look at the last 4 years in terms of U.S. policy to the region, especially the Abraham Accords?
It was fantastic.
Did it surprise you?
It did surprise me. It did. I was in their mindset, but they did things that I didn't think were possible.
Surprised you?
Yeah. I didn't think. It really surprised me. Extremely well executed, and they created an alternative to two things: an alternative to the Obama paradigm that we were talking about, but also an alternative to the Bush paradigm of large numbers of U.S. troops on the ground.
Right.
That's what he tried to do. We stayed engaged. We contained the bad guys with a minimum threat to American lives,
and that
part of that's what the Abraham Accords is about, building a coalition to do that.
And what was achieved on the Trump administration in the Middle East that could be undone in this administration?
They're dying to undo it. That's one of the things I want to say about that concept before. It's domestic politics. They are targeting Saudi Arabia right now, because what they really want to do is they're targeting Israel. They want to downgrade the U.S.-Israeli relationship, because Donald Trump's pro-Israel policies and the idea of building a coalition around Israel was so popular domestically. And it's not just popular on the right.
So what's the logic? We've got literally 30 seconds left. Why would an American administration want to sabotage the relations with the only functioning democracy in the Middle East?
They want to rejigger them, you know.
And to whose benefit?
Theirs, because he only won by 44,000 votes distributed across three states.
So does that help? How does attacking Israel diplomatically attack?
Biden is beholden to the progressives who hate Israel.
Right.
And then number two, he doesn't want that option to be there. The Abraham Accord option.
Get it off the table.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I knew it was a mistake to get him in studio. I want to talk to him for another hour, but he's going to come back, right?
Sure.
All right, got to follow him. Doran made it. He's got a podcast. Mike Doran, senior fellow with the Hudson Institute. Next, Brian Dean Wright, former CIA intelligence officer. This is America First. If you have a cell phone, I know you got a cell phone, even if it's one of those flip phones. They're cool. They're still cool. If you're with one of the big cell phone providers, stop and think for a second. Every time you pay your bill, they take a portion and they donate it to things like Planned Parenthood, gun control organizations, or even Democrat candidates. Why would you let them use your money against you? Switch today. Go with the only conservative Christian cell phone company, Patriot Mobile. You can keep your number. They are rated number one in customer service in America. Their US-based team are superb. You get massive discounts if you use my name, especially for veterans and first responders. Go today, patriotmobile.com/GORKA, or call them 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-728-7468. That's 972-728-7468. PatriotMobile.com/GORKA. Join the good guys.
A man, a legend, a legal immigrant, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
I like that. Thank you, and thank you so much to all of you. I haven't even mentioned it. I've talked about my new slippers. I did that very angry monologue at the top about the immigration fiasco. But guys, you did it. You did it. You got me to a million followers on that awful thing called Twitter. But thank you. I appreciate it. We've been working hard, and I know they're going to shadow ban us even more. But we love having you at our back. And if you really were energized by the monologue, talking about my parents as real refugees, real asylum seekers, if you want to educate yourself on the situation here in America, how broken the system is and how they're exploiting it for political purposes, you've got to check out an incredible new film. I've watched it. It's called America's Forgotten. It's by somebody who is a former Democrat, Namrata Singh Gujral. She was pro-illegal immigration. She's a filmmaker. She went to investigate it, and then her life changed, even with regards to her relations with her family members, because she saw the truth and she changed her mind. You've got to educate yourself. You've got to watch it tonight. You can watch it through us, salemnow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A for extra savings. Watch America's Forgotten tonight. Educate yourself, salemnow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. Okay, I bust through his tradecraft. I tracked him down through multiple burner phones. He couldn't escape. He's a good friend of the show, former CIA operations officer, Brian Dean Wright. Welcome back to America First.
I've been captured. Well done, sir. Well done.
We're not going to waterboard you. Not today. It's hard to do down the phone line. It's very difficult. You get all kinds of short circuits. Not a wise thing to do.
Indeed.
You have been stellar. I'm so glad we reconnected, because your social media, your voice of reason, especially on Twitter, has been superlative. Follow him right now, do it. Brian with a Y, Brian Dean Wright. It's BDW. I'm going to play an audio for you with regards to what's happening in America with political correctness, and I want you to respond. This is from the man who is now our Secretary of Defense, when he was testifying at his confirmation hearing in the Senate. Pick up.
The job of the Department of Defense is to keep America safe from our enemies. But we can't do that if some of those enemies lie within our own ranks.
You posted just a few hours ago on critical race theory on your Twitter feed. Your response as a national security professional, when you have a man who's a former general being confirmed to the highest position in the Pentagon, calling members of our armed services enemies, Brian.
So who gets to define enemy? That seems to be the question that the country is wrestling with right now.
Right.
And it seems when you hear a Secretary of Defense say that folks within his own service are actually the enemies, when there is no data that supports that we have a scaled nationwide problem either in the country or in the Department of Defense, well, that tells you this is political. This is a witch hunt. This is looking for an enemy where it doesn't exist. And if we were honest, we would say that the enemy would be, for instance, people last summer who burned down upwards of $2 billion worth of property and injured upwards of 700 law enforcement officials. That's the enemy, and that is very well defined and very clear. There is no data support that, for instance, we have a white supremacy problem within the Department of Defense. So this is all political. And we are trying to redefine what enemy is and create an enemy for a political goal. And it's wrong. It's horrifying.
How dangerous is, because that could be deemed just hyperbole, rhetoric for a political purpose, although it shouldn't be coming from a political appointee at the top of the Pentagon. But we had his decision as soon as he came into the Pentagon to stand down all our forces for 60 days while there was a review of quote-unquote radical and extremist elements in the armed forces across America. Now, somebody did the right thing. They sent me the PowerPoint deck of the mandatory training that every unit had to go through. And I'll tell you one thing, Brian. There was a lot of, you know, talk of racists. There was a lot of talk of people who questioned the results of political processes. But there wasn't, to your point, Brian, there wasn't one mention anywhere on this 30-page slide deck of Black Lives Matter or Antifa. How dangerous is it to be that political inside of our national security establishment?
Here's the extremism I'm worried about. I'm worried about the people in uniform who are walking to a United States representative from, these were National Guard members from Guam, and joining in uniform a political sort of friend and going to their adversary, a Republican in this particular case, and trying to mock that Republican representative. I'm worried about the extremism of a general, General Funk of the Army, going on his official Twitter feed in his official uniform and degrading Tucker Carlson in his view of the Department of Defense. Right? Keeping good order and discipline means that, folks, when you are in uniform, or if you're speaking on behalf of the United States, you put your politics to the side. Sebastian, what happens when our military becomes a political tool of either the left or the right? I mean, the answer to that question is we end up a disastrous Pakistan or Egypt or any country that doesn't actually have a democracy. They might have a veneer that you can go to the polls, but your law enforcement, your military, your intelligence service, they choose who can run and then who can win. That's the extremism that is real, that is happening right now, that we should all be ringing the bell on and be profoundly frightened of.
For those who aren't familiar with the episode that Brian just mentioned, there was a political stunt in Congress last week after Marjorie Taylor Greene, who will be joining us in the next hour, said something in a speech where somebody thought she said Guam, and so to politically attack her, her opponents marched dozens of members of the National Guard from Guam to her office in combat uniforms. It's not what we do in America. Brian's right. I've seen it. I've had to educate and train officers from Southeast Asia and Asia. They shouldn't be involved with politics there, and they shouldn't be involved with politics here. Brian's going to stay with us for one more segment. Follow him, BrianDeanWright.com and BrianDeanWright with a Y on Twitter. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor. If you're in daily pain and have found relief nowhere else, you must try this incredible 100% drug-free product that is providing liberation from pain to tens of thousands of Americans across the country, me included. Just listen to Yvonne from California. Both my husband and I are in our 70s and are so grateful to have found Relief Factor. We tried so many other solutions, but none of them have given us the freedom of being pain-free like Relief Factor. Incredible words, pain-free. You should be able to say that. Find out today if Relief Factor could work for you like it works for Yvonne, me, and thousands of Americans. Order the three-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do, and I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 days, you'll know if it's the answer for you. Call 800-500-8384. That number again, 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Food for the Poor.
Florida civics curriculum will incorporate foundational concepts with the best materials, and it will expressly exclude unsanctioned narratives like critical race theory and other unsubstantiated theories. Let me be clear, there's no room in our classrooms for things like critical race theory. Teaching kids to hate their country and to hate each other is not worth one red cent of taxpayer money.
God bless Governor Ron DeSantis banning racist critical race theory in Florida. Let's ask somebody who's fighting this kind of thinking in his work every single day, former CIA operations officer Brian Dean Wright. Brian, you're still very plugged in. You talk to people across the enterprise. Is there any pushback? Are people who love this country and who believe in common sense and reality saying, not on my watch, after President Trump's critical race theory executive order that banned it was rescinded as soon as Biden said sat down. Is there hope inside the machine?
There absolutely is. I think that I'm going to say the vast majority of folks that I know within the intelligence and military communities, they recognize this for what it is. And it's absolutely anti-American garbage, right? Because I think what most folks understand is this, that if you go back in time, this country was founded by 13 colonies made up of people from six different European nations, and we came up with a motto, and that was out of many, one.
Yeah.
And what critical race theory proposes is out of one, many, right? So out of one country,
yes,
let's bust it apart, create a confederacy of tribes. And we abandoned the confederacy several hundred years ago, but now we want to recreate it, says the left, and we want to create a confederacy of tribes. Of course, it's black versus white or gay versus straight or Christian versus Muslim. But I think most of us understand that we abandoned the confederacy for a reason, because when you have many who are constantly at each other's throats based on some pretty horrific ideology, it falls apart. The whole thing falls apart. And so I do believe, based on the folks that I talk to and I know within my circles, they all understand that this critical race theory stuff is garbage and we must fight against it.
It's a wonderful way of putting it. That's why we invite you on this show. You're absolutely right. They want a new confederacy. They want a confederacy of tribes, breaking us down from the thing that binds us to each other, the incredible country that is America, and to have us competing against each other, jealous and hateful of each other's tribes. Follow this man, his website, BrianDeanWright.com, and on Twitter, BrianDeanWright, Brian with a Y. God bless you, Brian. Can't wait to see you here in the swamp to slay some dragons in studio with me on America First. Where did those 2 hours go? Back with Marjorie Taylor Greene and Monica Crowley. Don't touch that dial.